Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
They're doing the opposite of what your instincts humanly say, counterintuitive. And really, you look at the Bible's commands, you find that all the time.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Our country that has spread its wings around the world, and it's not just solely America that is the only greatest or great country in the world. God does not put a premium on any one country. He puts a premium on any country. He says, I'll bless. Blessed is the nation whose God's the Lord. It's not just America. It's any country that says, I'm going to establish God first place in our country. I'm thankful that America chose to do that. There are many other countries that have raised their nationalism to the point as if they're worshiping their nation. That's dangerous. Ask Germany a few years ago. Fact is, there was a country, a nation, that is the apple of God's eye, that recognized you have natural heroics, but what's really driving underneath this is spiritual heroes. And the same qualities that you will find in the fabric of our own nation, those forefathers, you will find those same qualities in the hearts and lives of spiritual heroes. That's why you have Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, because I want to take time right now to address what I see to be an important part. And if we could focus for a few moments on spiritual heroes. And I say a few moments because verse 32 of chapter 11 makes the statement, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me. You know what he's saying? He's saying what I say so often is, you know, listen, we don't really have all that much time. How much more do I need to say to take too much time to recall the stories of faith? And so that's kind of what I'm looking at today. But you understand what he's summarizing. And it's interesting. I think he's implying in this statement, as one commentary, I think, wisely notes, that he really genuinely is seeking to inspire new courage and a new sense of responsibility by hearing of these past victories. And he kind of initiates the readers to saying, listen, you furnish, okay, all the details of these stories. I'm kind of just flying by, which, by the way, is why a good thing to be in Sunday school. If you say, man, I got saved later in life, you know, it's the benefit of being able to, hey, gather some of these stories, reading some of these stories, because that's really what this writer is saying. He said, listen, I don't have time to go into all the details. I'm just going to give you the names here. I'm going to summarize for you what is very important, because in this summary, he is going to illustrate these are qualities, these are values that if you are going to live your Christian life, you got to have them. That's why he's saying all this. And he's summing it all together. And I'd like to draw attention to you, if I could, in this, because it is so important. Hebrews 11, 32 through about 39 really is broken into two parts. I'm going to talk about one today. And it is by faith, some were triumphant victors. Some were really tragic victims. But today, I want you to understand, and in both of those, they both live by faith. You read the first part, those we're going to talk about today, and they go, hey, yeah, you got it. I'm on board, man. Jump in, I'm here. It's like when you're going, okay, sawn asunder, goat skins, and I don't know if I'm into that. But are those any less important to God? See, here we humanly going, yeah, hey, I want to be victor. They won. The rest of these, they're losers. God's saying, hey, you know what? They're not all like losers. They're all winners in my eyes because they're living by faith, which is the whole point of the passage. I've had many times people say, you know, I want to know God. I want to sense God. I don't sense God. And you got to come back to the point. How am I living? If you're desiring to live by sight, if you're desiring to look for an experience, if you're desiring to look for a feeling, you're going to be sorely disappointed and you're going to be up and down in your Christian life. because you cannot find a scripture. Live for something good. Live for something like, whoa, get me up. You, what you will find, live by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're living for the invisible. Faith lives above sea level. You understand? You say, I don't believe if I don't see it. Really? I've said the illustration before. There's events going on right now you don't see. I have this little microphone. Do you see the signals transferring? You don't see it, but you believe it. Other people, I believe George Washington lived. I believe John Adams lived. I've never seen him, never met him. Heard about him, read some things about him. I believe it. Any less faith to believe when people say, well, I just don't know if I believe this book. You know, I've never seen God and never felt God. Does that mean it's not there? He's certainly there. That's where you live by faith. And when you end up finding these groups right here, you will end up finding in this simple passage, let me make a few observations. And one of those, among others, are motivating qualities. Number one is you end up reading, notice verse 32, as he says, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. And he kind of takes these three pairs. The first one of each of these three are ones that we probably have heard more of. David and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. Who's not heard of Gideon in the 300? Who's not heard of Samson and the moral collapse? But God puts it in. He's a man of faith. And David. But the Bible does talk about Barak and Jephthah and Samuel. And all of these really were national heroes for Israel. But they all express, and the point of this passage is, these three qualities. And historic spiritualities reveal there are a set of non-negotiable values or qualities that are required and expected of every believer. What are they? You need them. I need them today. You know what they are? Number one, understand as I read this passage that all of these, by faith, they cheerfully and confidently accepted God-given tasks against all human odds. You read this, and by faith, they cheerfully, they confidently accepted God-given tasks. You know what's expressed? It's expressed in these accomplishments. Look what you end up seeing in verse 33. Who? Through faith. Notice, and these are three triads. First of all, he says, these three are given, and there's a broad accomplishments. He states them. Notice in your Bible, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, or they administered justice. They obtained promises. And notice, they gained what was promised. And these aren't the only ones. This was the kind of the corporate experience, not just of this half dozen, but the general experience of all the preceding 16 members of Hebrews 11. He says they subdued kingdoms. You think of Moses. You think of Joshua. They wrought righteousness. That's why you have the book of Judges. You find they obtained promises. They gained what was promised. These were victors. Man, it's inspiring. Say, how in the world did they do that? How did they have that kind of success? You know what? They cheerfully and they confidently accepted, God, you gave me this task to do. I'm going to do it. You told me to do this. I'm going to do it. Is it any different for you and me today? Maybe that's why Paul himself used the analogy of warfare in Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know what? You can end up being the same place spiritually. I don't care whatever your difficulty is, my friend. Is it any different when you're in a place of leadership to end up saying, God, please help me? If you put me in a place of leadership to help be able to subdue kingdoms, to bring righteousness, to obtain promises, I can do the same thing. You can. It's all by faith that I cheerfully and confidently accept that God-given task, because it was against all human odds that you find people doing that. Number two, you also find the fact as you move forward in that passage, that is the first triad, but the second triad, I think, reveals as you read the passage, they quenched the violence of fire. They, first of all, stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. You know what these people were doing? They were living by faith that they courageously, number two, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. That's why they're recorded in this passage. That's why you end up finding them. Who is he talking about who stopped the mouths of lions? Since the writer is going through quickly names here, I mean, you can see that Samson and David and Benaiah, all of those shut the mouths of lions through physical force. I mean, Samson, he barehandedly took a charging lion and by the jaw and ripped it apart. David did it evidently as a shepherd boy, as a teenager. Obviously, our mind, however, would go to Daniel, who's the preeminent example through his faith and in prayer in Daniel 6. Are you into finding they quenched the violence of fires? Could it be that the writer was talking about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? They trusted God. And they coolly conversed in a blazing furnace while the awestruck king looked on. Could it be that they escaped the edge of the sword? Could be multiple people, including King David, as well as the prophets or Elijah and Elisha. They escaped the sword, as many others. And you know what? It is, as the term I hear used now and then, counterintuitive. Counter, they're opposite of the intuition, the normal instincts of humans. They're doing the opposite of what your instincts humanly say, counterintuitive. And really, you look at the Bible's commands, you find that all the time. When the Bible says, do good to those that despitefully use you. Give and it'll be given unto you. You lose your life and you'll gain it. Man, that's opposite what your nature's telling you, my friend. But that's why God says, listen, it is by faith. They courageously, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. And when you get to the place, you start looking at life as these individuals were highlighted. Jonathan Edwards, who made a powerful statement, he said, and he prayed, oh God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. What is he saying? Help me to look at life as eternity. That I'm not living for this world, I'm living for another world. And that's what you read about people like this that could cheerfully and confidently accept God-given tasks. That's why you end up finding them that could stop the mouths of lions and quench the violence of fires and escape the edge of the sword because they courageously stood alone. And you know, the writer of Hebrews, the whole point he's making with others is be confident. God's shaking things up in this world. There is no security in this world. And I think God took 9/11 to shake up a world, our own country, to realize, you know what? There are events that you cannot control. And your own world, your own life, your own family, your own particulars, that's not going to shake a kingdom or shake a country, but it's shaking you. Is it any different that you got to say, God, this is my God-given task today. I got to take care of my child. I got to take care of my husband. I got to take care of my family. God, I need you today. God, I want to courageously stand alone because you know what? My coworker, they don't even want me to turn on my radio at my own desk. They don't want me to end up saying anything. I can't even give a gospel tract because someone might get offended. You're too exclusive. You can't say that Jesus is the only way. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in defensive. And is it any different today that God is saying, listen, you need the same kind of encouragement you need to stand on? Because you have a whole world going opposite you.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.